Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. We are doing a human hand grenade rundown, checking out the matrix here. I'm going to start with San Francisco, and I think it's Elijah Mitchell's the starter. It's something like three snaps for Sermon when Mitchell played. It's mildly horrifying. Just mildly horrifying for what we paid. So not great. Yeah, in terms of that overall feel, and that's going to be a lesson learned at some point. I don't think it's drawing dead. If you can get anywhere near close to what you paid, do it. I don't think that's possible at this particular point, but again, I think you have to search for ways to try and unwind some of that position from Sermon. That all being said, if Mitchell's injured, like, Sermon could start. If Mostert comes back, like, it wouldn't shock me if Mostert takes Mitchell's job and Mitchell's relegated to Siberia. We have seen Kyle Shanahan. We have a pattern now, which is, and maybe this is the ultimate way to play this, is you get the guy that Shanahan is, like, convinced is a starter, and you get him at a discount at some point when he's hurt or something like that, and you just sort of unleash him when he comes back, right? That's the Mostert angle. That's the Elijah Mitchell angle. Like, that might be what his approach is. We don't trust him on anything else except when he acts, and we sort of know how he feels about Mostert. And at this point, I think we know how he feels about Elijah Mitchell. So, yeah, that's really the thing I think you gotta watch for here is you know, we got to figure out ways to sort of unwind Sermon when we get the opportunity. Alvin Kamara, I see him get involved in the passing game. It's Divine Ozigbo, Dwayne Washington, Ty Montgomery, Tony Jones. I mean, I'm just taking spec shots. I don't really much know. And honestly, like, it's going to be one of those things where I don't think Tony Jones' injury is super, super long. And it's probably going to be one of those things where, and this is probably instructive as a lesson for, I am doing a lot more of this, which is I'm doing a ton of, like, hey, let's do a speculative ad, just a situational leverage spot. Again, it's a 1%, 2% shot that I'm trying to make a 3 or 4% shot, right? I'm just trying to sort of give myself a little bit more juice. And if I can just do that, like, a lot of times, that'll add up over and over and over and over and over again. That can add up to being something of consequence, right? It might take a long time, and it might not necessarily be super impactful. But again, you constantly need to move 2% to 4%, right? Because that's a double, right? That's 100% increase. It's a big deal. You know, just keep moving those things over and over and over again, and it'll sort of work your way. The Saints one is a perfect example of that. So you have Saints coming up here on a bye, and you can sort of say, okay, you know, when's the so we're coming up here, we've got you know, we've got a week 6 bye, and then they're back in week 7. Tony Jones is projected to be back in week 9. So it, assuming that the Alvin Kamara you know, makes it alive and into Monday Night Football in week 7, he's then sitting out week 8 if he gets hurt during that game. And that'll be like a one spot start. And then you're going to have Tony Jones potentially working back, and you don't really have an out. So the question is like, do you want to hold that player for basically 2 weeks for that shot? And I think the answer is no. So long story short, that is to say, going to pivot probably away from, like, the Divine Ozigbo stuff. You know, I did add some Dwayne Washington just because I wasn't sure, and I said I need to be exposed to it. At this point, though, it's 2 weeks out, and we need to optimize those roster spots. I'm fine letting those float back because I think you need to be very – I think you need to be very aggressive in sort of flipping those spots in season, especially when buys come, and sort of being proactive. And again, what's the payoff? In the event that Kamara, you know, is kidnapped tomorrow, what's going to happen? You know, it's a one spot start, it's a buy. and there. If he makes it through this week, what's the upside? Well, it's a bye, and then you're already staring down the barrel of Tony Jones coming back, you know, the week, basically, 2 weeks thereafter. So you're just drawing, you know, it's an unsuited inside straight draw. Right? That's what you're playing with the situation. So I'm fine moving on, pivoting, transitioning. I'm fine doing that. I think that's probably the right process. I added a whole bunch of these guys. I have no problems moving on at this particular point. It's worth noting that they didn't accumulate any stats, but 7 snaps for Divine Ozigbo, 2 for Dwayne Washington. So if that gives you some sort of indication that they're not going to be flex viable and you know it's Ozigbo's up there already, like that's fine. I don't have a ton of confidence in that long term. Tony Pollard, the clear injury waiver guy in Dallas, no surprise there. Alexander Madison's outtouched Dalvin Cook this year. Let me repeat that. Alexander Madison has outtouched Dalvin Cook this year, which is very nice. Maddie the Axe was able to stay in the house, which again was very nice. The fumble there at the end of the game was a little troubling, but we got through with a successful fantasy day. Daryl Henderson, the starter for the Rams. Sonny Michel, I think, has situated himself into a fine, like, ancillary role. Henderson, just don't watch, right? Like, don't watch. Dwayne McFarlane, whose work I really enjoy at PFF, is talking about how Daryl Henderson's role is really good. I'm like, yes, that's totally true. I said, but you know how painful it is to watch when he's in and out of the game? Just don't watch. Right? Just don't watch it. And it'll be easier for you. He's probably a decent investment on like the running back. You know, if you can get him for running back 3 prices, I think he's interesting as a potential guy this year. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Cleveland, no surprise there. Hunt outproducing Chubb so far. Both are top 12 to 15 guys. I think, you know, if you play out the season, I think they're both sort of in that range. I think you're fine with both of them. It's Aaron Jones. It's A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon played a little bit more. I touched on this in snap reactions. A.J. Dillon playing a little bit more and seeing some receiving work too. So that's, you know, probably not helpful with Aaron Jones in the lineup, but I will say it is probably helpful in the sense of, you know, in a scenario where Aaron Jones is out, at least we know with A.J. Dillon going into a week, hey, like he's, you know, they feel confident with him in the passing game. Like he's catching the ball well. He's doing those sorts of things. We sort of have an idea that he has that in his bag of tricks. I think it's important just to give us some context. And again, when you get these backup guys, a lot of times you won't get a ton of data. I think that's actually useful, absolutely relevant data about his performance so far. So, almost 5 yards per route run this past week. So that's nice. He goes 4 for 4 for 49 yards and a touchdown, right? Decent to actually really good receiving grade at PFF. So all that sort of is helpful in the sense of, you know, when we need to make decisions on A.J. Dillon going forward, if it's a start-sit scenario, if it's anything like that, we feel confident knowing that he's capable of handling that role, and that's good. That's what we want to see. Keep going down the line here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on IR now, and so it is going to be Daryl Williams. Jerick McKinnon as well. I think Daryl Williams is the injury away guy to own. I think Jerick McKinnon's interesting in terms of, you know, what do we expect? What are we looking for? I am not a fan of Jerick McKinnon just because we've kind of seen the deal with him and that he hasn't done a whole heck of a lot. And despite a lot of opportunities here with different teams at this point, you know, he gets 22 routes this past week. Everyone's like clamoring about that. Oh, look at that. 0.59 yards per route run. I mean, okay, like what are we doing? 0.75 for Daryl Williams. The thing I will say about Daryl Williams is like when you they haven't run it a ton in the red zone. The Chiefs haven't, but when you sort of look at it, you feel pretty good that, like, hey, this is a situation now where it's probably Darrell Williams consolidating much of the work into him. And then maybe we get, you know, McKinnon being sort of a satellite guy, something like that. But Darrell Williams can potentially consolidate all phases of the running back position, you know, 70-80%, and you feel almost better about his role than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as crazy as that sounds. All right, Leonard Fournette's the clear guy in Tampa. Again, I don't feel great about like the amount of bodies sort of there. It's, you know, it's the amount of road furniture that's there on his way to contending difference making role. That said, like, he's smashing in terms of routes. He's smashing in terms of usage. He's being used over Jones. He's being used over Geo in their preferred roles. I mean, at this point, you know, he's in the top five of routes run at the position at this point, and with good efficiencies. You can't keep looking a gift horse in the mouth and saying, oh, you know, like, here's all the problems with him. Like, you just bludgeon people to death with your running backs. Like, that's what you do. And I really like the fact that he is a very, he's a high volume guy, especially in the passing game. There's a lot of floor there. So I think he's really interesting. He's running back two, and he's going to be making a lot of lineups. All right, Derrick Henry. Jeremy McNichols, this is your injury way guy. Darrington Evans is looming in terms of returns. We'll be watching that. Mike Davis, Cordarrelle Patterson. Again, I highlighted the Davis-Patterson sort of splits in terms of some of the stats. I think they're both really interesting, and I think they're both lineup viable. For sure, Patterson is. I think Mike Davis is too. Again, Mike Davis is like 15 touches. You know, it's basically double-digit points sort of across the board. It's a little bit better than replacement level. But, you know, you find yourself in season, especially in this part of the season, you find yourself using that. And actually, if he keeps performing at this level, it'll be better because you're going to get weeks with lots of guys out. So I just sort of keep that in mind as well. Damian Harris injured for the Patriots, so we'll see. That's I believe, a rib injury. Ramondre Stevenson was the one injury away guy in the game. He saw a bunch of the work. It's Brandon Bolden at the running back position. It's not particularly interesting there. Josh Jacobs is back and running more routes than Kenyon Drake, so we'll see. I think the Gruden aspect of this is really interesting in terms of what this team is going to look like now that Gruden is gone for less than polite conduct, I guess would be the wording there. So we'll see how all that unfolds. I do think it's notable that Jacobs has run more routes than Drake over the past couple weeks here, and sees 9 receptions. Again, not huge yardage, but 9 receptions over the past 2 weeks. That's notable. You have to take stock of that and look. Because, again, if he sort of keeps that pace up and sort of gets some puck luck at some point in some of the rushing stuff and get some development of the offensive line and all that stuff, but keeps that passing game pace, like, all of a sudden, like, you've got someone that's going to really outproduce what his value is. All right, so Jonathan Taylor, the lead guy in the backfield. I don't have a great feel for what's going on after that. Again, I think it's Marlon Mack, and if they're going to trade him, we'll see how that works. It's Baltimore. It's up in the air. I mean, it's Latavius Murray's the starter, Bell Freeman, Tyson Williams. I suspect, like, I would guess, this is my hunch, and I could be totally wrong about this, but if I had to guess, I think that for some reason that they're holding out Le'Veon Bell, and whether it's he's in shape or not in shape or whatever, that you might see Tyson Williams, you know, not in adequate shape, I guess we should say, or some other reason that they're, what I suspect that we'll could see is Tyson Williams be the game day guy, you know, as Le'Veon Bell sort of works back in. Again, he played and then didn't play last week, so we'll sort of see there. Maybe they were I think it's equally possible, given some of the news reports, that Tyson Williams is being shopped. I think that's very possible. But all that's to say that I think in the event that that Latavius Murray goes down in game, I think the person that you see replacing him, whether that's Williams or Freeman, could be different than the person that actually does it the next week, and that could be in the form of Bell. So just sort of keep that in mind. I think Le'Veon Bell, outside of like 25 man rosters, you probably don't feel like short of that 25 man, you're probably not feeling good. Like at 28, like in safe leagues, like, man, it's gonna be tough because like you've got a bunch of other guys going on. You know, I think that's kind of where you're at with Bell at this point. DeAndre Swift, he's good. Jamal Williams, he's also good to a lesser extent. So you like both of those guys. It's a pretty stable situation, knock on wood. Everyone stay healthy there, boys. DeAndre Swift and Chase Edmonds and James Conner, the next up on the line here. It's Chase Edmonds a little bit more receiving-centric, Conner the running-centric. I think if Chase Edmonds went down, and he's nursing some stuff right now, some ankle and whatnot. If he, if he works his way back and is fully healthy, I think you're fine rolling him out and being ready to go. I think if James Conner were to get a spot start, it's that Madison situation where we could definitely outproduce what Edmonds has done just because he's consolidating it all into one person. Waiting for McCaffrey to be back. This could be the week. And then they're got a bye coming up here too. So like they could float him through and not play him. And I think that would be like wise. We'll see. Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams locked in a tight timeshare. So we'll see there. We're expecting Barkley out for the Giants here for a couple weeks. I touched on this on the Sunday night thing. His ankle doesn't really concern me for what that entirely uneducated opinion about that is, you know, no formal training. I had it that exact same thing happen where I did it wasn't on tape, but I got a little bit more of like a up towards the toe sort of mechanism going on towards it. He just sort of did that kind of tip it over, and it blows up like a balloon. Like just you take your shoe off and it just explodes. I didn't get x-rays or any of the treatment that he's getting, but I can say that it's the exact same thing in terms of what happened. So I'm not super worried about it. Again, it's essentially it's a basketball sprained ankle, so I'm not super worried about it. I remember it happening pretty vividly, and how it happened and everything. It's just it blew up like a blew up, and a few days later I was able to be like totally fine. Like it's just, again, I was in pain, but I was able to play and all that stuff. In fact, probably played prematurely, but that could explain a lot of other things. Devontae Booker is actually the lowest graded running back at this point in terms of PFF grade, so that's not great. Again, I don't know how much I really care. I think this is probably a situation where you're not totally cashing in backup chips. I mean, if you're going to do that, it's probably Gary Brightwell after Booker, but I'm not sure, given the timeline, how valuable that third guy actually is. If it's a spot start or something like that, maybe. But I don't think it's going to be anything extended. And so I think you look a lot of other places for answers. All right, Damian Williamson, Khalil Herbert, splitting the backfield role there with David Montgomery out. David Montgomery on IR. So we're looking weeks here. And I think, I feel probably fine starting Damian Williams. I wouldn't feel good starting Herbert just because that's not I don't think that's the right way to go about these things. Again, Damian Williams, I feel fine playing, and then if something happens, then we can sort of move away from it. But that's the easy play there. P. Ryan played a lot more than you would expect. Played a lot more routes than Mixon did. Mixon was hurt, so that could be a part of the game plan situation. But I do think it bears watching. If for no other reason than P. Ryan is involved, and we sort of, again, sort of in like the A.J. Dillon, like there's threads that run through this. This is like the A.J. Dillon, hey, we feel okay with P. Ryan in a pass catching role if Mixon goes down. Like, that's fine. Like, it's kind of what we're doing. Najee Harris, Balazs played a little bit. I don't have a firm take on the backfield here. I just don't know what the answer is, to be totally honest. It's probably none of them pay off, would be my hunch. If Harris goes down, that would sort of be my hunch. Balazs played 10 snaps. It's Snell playing 13. Backup snaps so far, 28 for Snell, 14 for Balazs on the season. So again, I have a fair share of Snell. I'm not totally convinced I'm right at all. So again, and it could be a total committee situation if Najee Harris were to go down. Like, Najee Harris is locked in a great volume though, so you feel pretty good about that. Miles Sanders still playing ahead of Kenneth Gainwell. Boston Scott is cuttable. I think that pretty much tells you what it is. I don't feel confident starting Miles Sanders. So, you know, I'm looking for other options, like Fournette over Sanders, most assuredly. That's the sort of range in which he exists right now. So he's almost entirely a replacement level player. I just hopeful as an asset. I think it's clear that Alex Collins is the guy over DJ Dallas in Seattle. And we'll see what Chris Carson is with this neck injury. It looks like it could be something that kind of lingers. So be on the lookout there. I added him like in a whole bunch of other pieces for like a couple of future picks. Again, just sort of giving myself, it feels like a basketball trade. Like, hey, we're going to flesh out like spots 10 through 14 on the depth chart, just so that way we've got options for like matchups down the stretch. That's kind of what it felt like. Again, he's better than that, but you sort of get the idea of like, that's kind of what I was doing there. I think it's interesting. James Robinson well ahead of Carlos Hyde. No problem there. We'll see what the Urban Meyer experience looks like here for the rest of the season. I think Michael Carter is firmly trending over Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman. I think this is now he's a starter. I think you have Ty Johnson second. I think you have Tevin Coleman third. I think that's the position. Again, I'm fine cutting Tevin Coleman outright. I'm probably fine cutting Ty Johnson, and outside of anything, you know, I think safe leagues, he's probably like 28 man, super flex, tight end premium. He's probably on the roster right there. Like, it's close. I could see cutting him. I have cut him in a couple spots where I'm like good, where I'm not. Like, he's, again, he's kind of an indication of if he's on your roster or not. Like, it's kind of an indication of sort of the quality of your roster at this point is a lot of what it is those depth pieces anyways. You know, there should be guys that you should have on your roster before him, and he should be sort of working his way in and out, like sort of in that tier, is kind of where it's at. Mark Ingram, the lead running back for Houston. It's David Johnson in the receiving role. Philip Lindsay is thereafter. I don't know who the straight injury away guy is. I would assume it's going to be David Johnson, but, I'm not sure. So, either way, it's probably not going to matter. So that would sort of be my opinion on it. Miles Gaskin had a huge game. I don't buy it. Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed sort of playing rotational steps behind him. I don't really know what's going to happen there. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are in a full-blown timeshare. I think like you could make a case that Zach Moss is actually playing ahead of Singletary. I'm not entirely convinced that that's true. But again, if I saw like another couple games where he's getting like 14, 15 touches in that range, I'd feel confident in Moss. I think where I'm at right now with him is I'm probably not starting him. But I do think, you know, if you get some positive game script or whatnot, like he's kind of that guy. I'm probably not starting. Like, he's on the running back 2-3 fringe. Like, I think him and Miles Sanders is a conversation. Like, that's probably the place in which you're debating. The Miles Sanders range of the position, if you will. Austin Eckler, well above the Miles Sanders range of the position. Roundtree, Jackson, Joshua Kelly. Joshua Kelly played a fair amount, an amount this past week. And then we're seeing, you know, a lack of Justin Jackson. Roundtree out as well. So Joshua Kelly, 26 snaps is the first work of the season. Again, I'm not sure entirely what the situation is there. I think Roundtree is better than Joshua Kelly, so I'm sort of keeping him up there. Again, if that situation changes this week, I would lean into it pretty quickly in terms of where your allocation of roster spots is. I will say this: if you get a situation where you're cutting someone. Like, this is a good example of, like, hey, let's cut Divine Ozigbo for Joshua Kelly. This is one of those examples. Because you could say, like, hey, if this thing goes bad for the guys in front of him, like, hey, at least he has some ways to capitalize. Whereas Divine Ozigbo, probably not. So that would be a situation which I'd probably lean into that, that a little bit more there. All right, and so finishing out here, up until the last one, Washington football team, Antonio Gibson, Jarrett Patterson, J.D. McKissick. Like, that's kind of the situation which you're rolling. So I don't have a particularly good feel of how big the role of Jarrett Patterson, for example, would be if Antonio Gibson goes down, but I feel confident in J.D. McKissick would still have a passing game role. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.